You are now listening to Virgo Chronicles with Shauna J. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Virgo Chronicles. So me deciding to record this right now is sort of random. It's like I knew I wanted to record this podcast, but I just didn't figure I'd do it right this minute. So let's just jump right into it. So I got a very overwhelming response to relationship PTSD from season one. And I decided, like, I'm going to do a part two for season two because I know that a lot of people related to that topic. And I know that a lot of people have been wanting more. And I just figured, fuck it, let's talk about it. There hasn't been, like, any crazy updates or anything like that because, as you guys know, we're living in a pandemic right now. And to be quite freaking honest with you, I just feel like, well, for me personally, I can't speak on other people, but for me personally, it's kind of hard dating at this time because I'm just going to be real. I feel like a lot of guys have been having this idea like, oh, it's a pandemic, so no one should have any expectations. You know what I mean? Because everything's closed. There's nothing that can be done. I feel like a lot of guys have been feeling that way. And it was actually like the butt of a joke on social media for a time. That's like, fellas, this is our time. You could tell her to come over to the crib and she has to come because everything's closed. And I'm just like, yeah, that's trash. But so it's been really hard for me dating right now. All right. It's not to say it's been really hard. I haven't been trying hard. Like, I haven't been really trying to date. I've just been keeping to myself and actually trying to keep my emotions at bay as far as everything else goes. So one of the things that I've always struggled with was letting go of people in my life, specifically guys. I just would always have a really hard time letting go of guys that I'd had a history with. This is something that was an issue in past relationships because I'd talk to a guy, and for the most part, whenever I date a guy, we become friends first because I'm just that kind of girl. Like, we become like bros damn near. And then if we start dating, we start dating. But this had become a complication in my relationships because I would move forward to another relationship and I would very, you know, clearly express that to guys from my past. And whether they wanted to respect it or not, they had to because I'm that type of girl. Like, if I'm in a new relationship, I'm going to let you know, like, listen, this is my man. I'm not interested in you anymore. You know, we can be friends, but you have to respect it. And if they really, really wanted to be my friend, they would respect it. But as far as the guy that I was dating, they would never, I don't think they would ever fully believe that that's what it was. But that would really be the situation. It's like, I'm so good at friend zoning. It's nothing to me. So that was just an issue. And now that I'm a bit older, I get it now. It's like you cannot stay in contact with all of these freaking guys from your past because you feel like they're a really good person and you're a good person. And so you guys should always remain in each other's lives. So I did have to learn how to wean myself off of guys that I was dating because, and it would be so hard, like for real, it's hard because I really, really, really would grow to have friendships with these people. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, we're cool, but you know, you can't be my friend and still like sort of be in love with me and then feel like, you know, I'm in love with you, but I also don't want to do what it takes to keep you, but I also don't want you to be with anyone else. And that is what the situation would be. I want to say that I've mastered the art of letting these people go. And I want to say that I've mastered it probably last year. So that says a lot. Now, I want to do a bit of storytelling if I can. I want to do a little bit of storytelling because I know you guys really appreciate my stories. I want to talk about someone named Harlem. So Harlem is somebody that he's like infamous amongst my friends. Like, Everybody knows who Harlem is. So Harlem, he's somebody that I met when I was a teenager. And so let me explain to you the dynamics of our relationship. He's older than me. So when I was a teenager, I was always very, very, very intimidated by him. Not only because of the way that he looked, but because of his confidence. And he had this type of just aura about himself. It's like he knew that women wanted him, just period. So it was almost like I get a lot of girls, but I'm feeling you. So you need to take heed to the fact that I get a lot of girls, but I'm feeling you. That was very much so his personality. And that's probably still his personality today. And it's been like 10 years now. But so he was that kind of guy that, you know, you just knew like a lot of ladies would always be on his line, and you knew that he had a lot of options. So he didn't really have to commit if he didn't want to, because his life was pretty good. And I was super intimidated by that, like especially around that time in my life. Like I was a teenager. Contrary to what people might have believed, I wasn't like that crazy into dating. Like, you know, I hadn't learned the game yet. Ghost didn't teach me the game yet. And I was kind of taken aback, like, whoa. And it's not to say that I hadn't ever dated someone like that, because my previous boyfriend before I met Harlem was very much that type of guy. Like, everybody wanted him. And he knew that everybody wanted him. And, you know, I was just afraid, because I didn't want to go through that again. And that relationship had, you know, left me a little insecure. And my ego was like the size of a peanut, because that's just what a relationship like that did to me. So I liked this guy, Harlem, but I didn't really trust it. I was a little intimidated, but I would never show that I was intimidated. I would find ways to maneuver. So he wouldn't know I was intimidated, but he just couldn't figure out why we were not moving forward. So we really did like this dance and played this game for years. Like, he'd have girlfriends, I'd have my situations going on. And he essentially became something like he actually compromised one of my relationships. And I'm gonna get into that a little bit later. But that is how consistent he was in my life. And he would disappear out of my life and come back. I would disappear out of his life and come back. And it was all very toxic. And when I think about it, like when I was younger, it was kind of cute to me. Like we would argue all the time. Like we argued day in and day out. And I was so into him that it never bothered me. Like, you know how you argue with someone and it'll just ruin your day or ruin your mood, or you just like you're troubled and you don't know how you feel about them? It was never like that. Like, Harlem and I would argue for an hour, and then we would, like, as soon as the argument was done, we would laugh about it, and then we would be back to normal within, like, you know, like it was never a lingering issue ever. And so I was kind of addicted to it, like a high. Like I love that about him. And I had never experienced anything like that before. So he was like someone where we just always talked about the possibility of being in a really, really good relationship, because our theories were like, okay, you keep dating people, I keep dating people, maybe we need to seriously be with each other. And that's the reason why nothing else is working out with anybody else, because we need to be with each other. But it just never happened. And as time would move forward, I would, you know, I wouldn't trust him. He wouldn't lose trust in me, because I'm honest as fuck. Like, well, let me not say that, because when I tell you guys the next story, you're going to be like, girl. But anyway, with him, I was super honest. Like, I would always, if I was dealing with a new guy, I would let him know, like, listen, like, I'm gonna fall back, because I am dating somebody, so I'm gonna fall back. And it would be hard for him to hear that, and he'd like, you know, do crazy shit like blow up my phone and see if I'm gonna answer. And I wouldn't, because I'm a really a dedicated girlfriend. Like, that's one thing about me. If I'm your girlfriend, you do not need to worry. Like, let's, you know, be true to each other. You don't have to worry about anything I'm doing. So it was just one of those situations that was so ongoing. And it's like, I stopped messing with a guy and then we talk and it's like, okay, welcome back. We're back doing to what we've been doing all this time. And you know what happened? So one day, not that long ago, maybe 2 years ago, a year ago, I don't know, like 2 years ago, yeah, like 2 years ago. So we hadn't talked. We hadn't been talking for a while, but then he resurfaced. That's what he would do. And we were talking a lot, FaceTiming a lot. It was cute. You know, we was feeling each other, seeing where we could take it. And there was like this one particular day I remember, and he kept FaceTime, like he was FaceTiming me throughout the day, calling me, texting me throughout the day. It was cute. It was like we were rekindling a flame. And I remember getting a phone call, and it was like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And, you know, my spidey senses were just tingling. And I'm like, I knew deep down in my heart exactly what it was. Like, I just knew what it was. And so I answer the phone. Hello. It's a girl. Hi. I'm like, hello. So she's like, do you know Harlem? I'm like, yes, I do. She's like, oh, how do you know him? I'm like, who is this? So she's like, she tells me, she's like, oh, I'm his girlfriend. I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. And I just keep seeing you in his phone. She's like, I've been seeing you in his phone for years. I'm like, how many years? She's like, about 4. I'm like, well, I've known him for about 10. This is real petty female shit. But then, like, no lie, y'all. Like, I'm such a woman. Like, I was not nasty towards her. I was very, like, regular. I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you, mama. I didn't know who you were. Like, I had no idea he had a girlfriend. I'm really not that type of bitch. Like, I, you know, one thing about me, y'all, and I mean that, I don't play the side ever. Like, that's not me. I don't play the side ever. You have a girlfriend, then yeah, you can see your way out. Like, I'm just not that. So if any guy has ever had a girlfriend and been involved with me, best believe I had no idea, because I'm not that. Like, I could be a lot of things, but I take pride in the type of woman that I am. So you will never have me on the side. But anyway, so she, you know, she was just on the phone, and real life shit, y'all, this girl started venting to me like I was her therapist. Like, she really started venting to me, and I'm on the phone like, wow, this is so pathetic. Now, mind you, as this girl is on the phone venting her guts out to me, he's FaceTiming me back to back on my other line. And, you know, I didn't even want to take it there. I didn't even tell her. I'm like, I don't even want to crush her anymore than she's already crushed. She was telling me how they had just came back from a cruise that she took him on for his birthday, all this stuff. Like, and he was texting me like, why you not answer my FaceTimes? And I'm like, this is so fucking pathetic. Like, ew. So eventually me and this girl got off the phone, and I texted him and I told him, I was like, I just spoke to your girlfriend. I just want you to know. So he didn't text me back, of course, because he was somewhere sitting there looking fucking dumb. So I was fine about it. Like, it didn't ruin my night or anything, because maybe some years ago it would have really affected me. But, you know, I'm older now. It just didn't affect me. I had other shit to worry about. So I'm just like, yeah, like, you know, you need to really go situate that. You know, I wish you the best. So we hadn't talked for a long time. And then eventually, like always, he resurfaces. Yeah, like, we're not together anymore. This, that, and the third. Like, I'm sorry I didn't tell you about it. This, that, and the third. And I'm like, it's so stupid. Like, you could have told me the truth. Like, we're not in a relationship. You could have told me the truth. I wouldn't have gave a fuck. Just say what's real. Like, I always say what's... That's one of my biggest pet peeves with people. Like, if I'm constantly putting myself out there to tell you the truth, why is it that you just insist on lying? Why? Literally, when I'm telling you the truth, that's me saying, like, don't be afraid to tell me the truth, because I'm going to give you the real. So don't be afraid. And people just insist on doing the exact opposite. So we'd spoken plenty of times after that, but I would always make a note to tell him that that same shit that I was attracted to when I was a teenager, actually disgusts me now. Like, I despise that. Like, I'm not in the business of dating a guy who is like super self-centered or feels like he's a prize because a lot of women are on his line, or because he's studied the art of being like a toxic guy who, you know, attracts damaged women. Like, I'm so above that, y'all, and I'm so proud of myself for not being attracted to that anymore, because that used to be my shit. That used to be my shit, when I tell y'all. Like, I would love to date the athlete, the big ass brocky ass tall guy that everybody was fighting over. Like, I would love to always be that girl that they were dating. And it's like, it's just not that serious. It's so overrated. Like, it's so overrated. And to be honest, I'm not even attracted to that anymore. Like, ugh. Anyway, so that was Harlem. And it's like, we had a whole lot going on, but at the same time, it really wasn't shit going on. Like, it's so weird. But he, some way, somehow, he was really a big part of my life. So let's talk about Mr. Buzz. Mr. Buzz and Harlem overlap. Okay. So I'm just going to say Buzz because Mr. Buzz is too much. So Buzz and I met each other. Buzz and I knew each other for, I want to say, since I was around 13 or 14 years old. And I don't want to give too much, but I don't want to give too little. You know what I mean? Okay, so Mr. Buzz and I, we knew each other for a really, really long time. He's a little bit older than me, but for the most part, we're in the same age group. So we met virtually. And you know, like, how it was MySpace days? Like, you know how it was? Like, you'd have all of your people. You'd have your top eight. You'd put, like, pictures of your friends and your people on your page and stuff, and it, you know, stupid shit. So that was like our thing, whatever. But we were friends. Like, we were really, really friends. And I'd vent to him about stuff, and he'd vent to me about stuff. But I didn't know that he liked me in that way. And he swears that I knew and I played him. But me, literally, y'all, like, I swear, I'm like, I didn't even know that's what you were getting at. Like, I was a freaking kid. I wasn't sitting there, you know, like, I thought we were just cool little cyber MySpace friends that both lived in Brooklyn. Like, it wasn't no big thing to me. I wasn't thinking like that. So, whatever, we lost touch, and then we kind of rekindled or whatever when I was in my 20s, my early 20s. I think when I was 20 years old, actually. So we talked because he had moved out of state. So we talked for so freaking long without like linking up or anything. Like, we were talking, and then one day he was back here. I think he was living back in New York at the time. We decided that we were going to the same place for New Year's. All right, sorry. So it's so not funny. That's the thing that's really getting to me. Like, why am I even laughing like this? So we were going to the same place for New Year's. So me and my homegirl, we was like, all right, we're gonna go. Got ready, stepped out or whatever, linked up with him there. You know, we had been talking for so long, so we were there very much, no cuffing in a club, give me $20. Like, it was a mess, but it was cool. So I was, like, on cloud nine, pissy. I got pissy drunk, like, for real. So this is where everything goes left. And, y'all, before I even tell y'all the story, I take full accountability. I know it wasn't nice. I know it wasn't right. And this is just what happened. Now, y'all, keep in mind Harlem. So we're at this club, and we were standing at the bar. Now, for some reason, I walked away from the bar. I was pissy drunk. Remember, it's New Year's Eve. I'm pissy drunk. So I walk away from the bar. He's at the bar. I leave my wallet there and I leave my cell phone. I don't know what I did. I don't know how much time passed by, but I get back to him and he is not fucking with me. Like, he doesn't have anything to say to me. He's very much so, don't touch me. Get away from me. I'm confused. I don't know what's going on. Like, I have no idea. Now, he went through my phone. So he went through my phone, right? Now, when he goes through my phone, first thing he sees is a conversation between me and Harlem. Now, within this conversation, this thread with me and Harlem, he sees some provocative photos. Yeah, I sent it. I'm not gonna lie. I did. At the time, like, I want to be fair. I want to be very fair and I want to be very honest in telling this story because I feel like in the past, I have not been so honest with myself about it. We were not in a relationship. We were not in a relationship yet. Were we very close to being in a relationship? Absolutely. So I do understand why, like, the magnitude of how upset he was. Like, I get it because, you know, sometimes there is like sort of like an unwritten rule between you and someone else. I feel, at least, you know, like I feel like it, you know, you know the type of things you discuss with another person and you know what you expect from them. So I get why he was so upset. Like, I totally understand. And it was just a drunk mess. Like, I was devastated. And then I was like so afraid that he would not talk to me anymore. And I remember making a scene outside of the club. Like, it was so bad. I just kept grabbing him and getting, it was just a fucking joke, y'all. Like, it was so bad. Then I couldn't find my wallet, which I, to this day, I think he stole it for revenge because I had like $200 in it. And I feel like he took it for pain and suffering, but I'm not mad. I just really wish he would have gave me back my IDs and such. But, you know, it was just a mess and it completely ruined the night. And the next day, I was so in shambles about this shit that I called all of my homegirls over. And I'm talking about everybody. I had all types of homegirls in my living room. Ones that didn't know each other like that. Ones that knew each other. Because I was just so in shambles and I really wanted the support. And everybody was sitting in my living room. And I was just so miserable. And I was like, y'all, he's not talking to me. I don't know what to do. I'm so... And it was just because the guilt was eating me alive because I'd never done anything like that before. Like, I was so shook off that shit. Like, oh my God. Like, I felt like a terrible person. I was guilt tripping myself to the max. And that's why I'm like, I don't understand how people cheat so peacefully. Because I hadn't even technically cheated on him. And I was really beating myself up about that shit. You know, like to the core. It tore me up. And I was so regretful. And I just was like, oh my God, if he just give me another chance, like, I will, you know, like, I'll show him. Like, I was, you know. And like, eventually he did reach out to me. And he was like, I'm still mad at you, but I do love you. Like, but that shit really took me to a place. And later on, I remember him saying to me somewhere down the line, he was like, you were like an angel to me until I saw that. And that shit really got to me because I'm like, oh my God. But I was like, but I am an angel. But the truth is, y'all, like, I was so traumatized from my relationship before him that I was kind of bugging. Like, I would try things that I'd never done. And just to see if it would make me feel, because my mindset was like, well, guys do it, like they do it to me, so I'm gonna do it to them. That was kind of like my mindset a little bit, like, and it just backfired on me because that's not my character. So it was hard. And if I can be honest with you, I really, really, truly believe that he carried that situation throughout our entire situationship. And I say situationship because although we were in a relationship for over a year, maybe close to two, we still dealt with each other for years beyond our breakup date. very tumultuous, toxic situation. But yeah, and so, you know, that situation happened, and I want to say 6 months after that, 5 or 6 months after that, this is all just so toxic, because the way that we got into a relationship was because I called him one day. It was the summertime, and I called him one day, and he didn't answer. And so he called me back, and I remember like it was yesterday. I was in the beauty supply store with my big sister, and he called me back, and I'm like, hello? And the girl was like, hello? And I was like, who is this? And she was like, who is this? And I was like, where is Buzz? And she was like, he's sleeping right here. And I was like, okay, bitch. Okay. Okay. So that, like, oh my God, that just lit such a flame under me. So I said to myself, you know, doing shit I shouldn't have been doing. I said, yeah, you know what? Oh, she thinks she's going to have the one up on me. I'll show her. And within the next couple of weeks, him and I were in a committed relationship. Because I was too through off. You see how, but that is terrible. Like, that's terrible. Oh my God. But that's what happened. And we had a pretty good relationship with some ups and downs. Definitely some checkings of phones, and I'd gotten in trouble for Harlem again at one point, and his phone would be ringing off the, it was a pretty decent relationship, I would say. Like, it was decent, and even though we were young and we had to make shit work, I can't speak for him, but let me tell y'all something. I was making that shit work. Like, I was making it work, because at that time, like, no one had ever met my family, and him and his mom had kind of like a strained relationship. And so, you know, I was like, well, how are we going to see each other? Let me tell you something. At the time, I was working a job that paid me $400 every 2 weeks. $400 every 2 weeks. Do y'all know that I took my little money every 2 weeks and I booked us a hotel room for the weekend every 2 weeks, because I just felt like, well, that's how we're going to spend our time. And then when we weren't in the hotel, I would wake up, because I worked in his neighborhood and I had to be at work for 10:30. So I would wake up, his mother would go to work very early in the morning. I would wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I wouldn't sleep. I would get up 5 o'clock in the morning, get dressed real quick. And I would go to his house. This was every freaking morning I would do this. And I would go to his house and stay there until it was time for me to go to work. So this is what I did. And I didn't mind doing it, because I wanted our relationship to work. And that's just how I felt. So we did that for a while. And, you know, we did our little things, went on our little trips and stuff. Eventually, like, when we started getting it together, it, you know, eventually he met my parents. Everything was good. He was spending a lot of time at my house. Everything was great. And I will say that I think, like, the little things that will pop up within our relationship, I feel were a result of him not only healing from the situation at the club, but also him not ever fully recovering from his past situations with his ex-girlfriends, his relationship PTSD as well. And so, you know, it's like, even though we were a really good match, in retrospect, it couldn't work, because we were two very torn people who had not fully healed from a lot of different things from our past. And that's the best way that I can put it. Literally, we had so many different situations that I could talk about it for hours. Like, because like I said, once our relationship was over, we still dealt with each other for a really long time. A really, really, really long time. So, you know, I want to say that it was definitely very traumatic, but at the same time, if I can give y'all the realest tea, the guy that I spoke about in relationship PTSD is still at the top of the trauma chart. Like, nothing tops that for me. Like, I feel like once that situation happened, I somewhat shut down to a certain extent. So nothing was able to really penetrate my core and cause me heartache the way that that did. So, yeah. And so, I don't know if I've ever talked about my dependency issue and my struggle with being alone. I feel like I have, but if I haven't, I just want to recap really quickly about how for a long time I struggled with just being alone, and I would just always make sure that I had someone, specifically men, to talk to, whether it be FaceTime or on the phone. It's like that was just my constant thing. Like, as long as I was single, I would always make sure that I had a guy to not physically comfort me, but to mentally and emotionally comfort me. And I recently learned how to stop doing that, and I got to, you know, just know myself a bit more. It was like a really hard journey for me, but it's so crazy how, like, I overcame that, and then the pandemic hit, and it's kind of like I was once again trapped inside of my mind. Like, the pandemic was such a test to my mental health, and I had a lot of days where I was just, I couldn't even fucking do it. Like, I was just like, I'm done. And I literally remember days where it would be like 8 p.m. and I'll be like, all right, now it's right. Now I'm ready to get out the bed for the day. And that's real shit. Like, I had a lot of days like that. And so it forced me to get to know myself all over again. And y'all know me, like, I'm not one of those people. I'm never afraid to talk about my struggles with mental health. I'm never afraid to talk about it. So it's not that I ever don't want to share it with you guys. I'm just always afraid of how vulnerable it's going to make me feel sharing it with you guys. Like, I like to be an open book, but there is some level of uncomfortability when it comes to me feeling super emotional or feeling like I'm not in control, because control is a really big thing for me. So, you know, during that time, I felt completely helpless and out of control, because what the fuck can I do about, you know, a worldwide pandemic? Like, there's literally nothing I could have done about it. And I was one of those people that took it super seriously. So I would be afraid to go outside. I would be afraid to go, like, when it was really in the thick of COVID-19, like, I was afraid to go to the supermarket. I was afraid to do anything. I was afraid for my family. I was afraid for my friends. Everything was just so overwhelming. And so it was like, okay, you cut off all these guys. You cut off all these guys that you used to talk to for times like this where you felt trapped, and now you don't have them. And now you have to sit here and be in your feelings, dummy. Like, that's how I felt at the time. But I'm super grateful for that part of my journey, because I'm so good at being by myself now, y'all. Oh my God. What? Y'all can't, first of all, can't nobody touch me, say nothing to me. I got, and I'm about to brag real quick, something like, your girl got Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, all the apps on the Roku, every channel you could think of, HBO Max. Ooh. Huh. I don't need nobody, okay? And that's just on period. And I got an air fryer. So, what happened? Oh, and Amazon Prime Video. What's up? Nah, but for real, y'all. Yeah, I'm just happy right now as far as how far I've come when it comes to learning how to be, like, a really dependent woman. So I'm in a good place. You know, and one thing that I'm really happy that I grew out of was my wishy-washy behavior when it would come to dating certain men. I would alter my vibe depending on what type of guy that I was dealing with. Like, don't get it mistaken, I would be myself, but I would alter my approach, if that makes sense. Let me give you an example. So I do have the ability to be both submissive and dominant. You know, like I have that ability. I don't want to say I'm ever super submissive, because that just wouldn't be realistic. But you know, y'all know how it is. Like, people don't want to tell the truth, but sometimes when you're dealing with someone who appears to be super soft spoken, you automatically become like the aggressor. And I would do that. I would do that. Like, I'd be so fucking aggressive with a guy if I felt like I could take over and I could run shit. But that was in my younger days. Like, I would do stuff like that. And then if I was dating a guy who was very arrogant and had a certain way about himself, like, I would be outspoken until I caught feelings. And then once I would catch enough feelings, it's like, oh, I just shrink so small, and everything they say to me is just like law, you know? And I've learned how to not do that. And it's hard in the dating world, because a lot of people give the impression and a lot of people promote the idea that guys like girls who don't like them. And so I would always use that tactic. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, it worked. It has worked so many times in my past. That is fucking nuts, and it's disgusting, and I know it's human nature, and I know that it's the type of thing that has had me caught up, you know. But it's just like, that is so, I don't want to be that. Like, I don't want to attract that, and I no longer want to be attracted to that. And I work so hard not to be that anymore. Like, I don't want to like a guy just because he's fucking making it very clear to me that he gets other women and I need to compete. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to do that, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm also not going to pretend to a guy like I'm super unavailable and I don't want anything to do with him just so he could be on my heels more, you know? So, like, I don't know. I just feel like if that's the kind of thing that you're still going for, then you're not for me and I'm not for you, because I grown as fuck, honey. Like, I was sitting here thinking about it the other day. I'm like, girl, you grown. You're almost 30, mama. Like, you don't have to play any of those games anymore. If you do not wish to, it's over with. Whatever happens beyond this point, it either is going to be for you or it's not. And that's it. We do not have time to waste. But at the same time, if this is just what it is, basically what I'm saying is I'm interested in a relationship. I want love. But I am super content with being by myself at the end of the day. So if something is not for me, I'm not going to force it to be for me. If God shows me that that thing is not for me, then that's just what it is. And, you know, I'll take it from there. I am, you know, I've come a really, really long way from the type of situations that I've been in. And I've come a long way from the type of situations that I've put people in. And, you know, once you're in a situation with a person that causes you to lose your peace, that shit is really hard to get back. Like, that shit is hard to get back. And some people may feel like they get over situations easily. That saying, you gotta get under another man to get over another one, that is not getting over a relationship. That is coping. That is the same thing as coping with weed or alcohol or anything else. It's the same thing, you're coping. I don't ever want to be that person that gets in another relationship or another situationship just to distract me from the fact that I got my fucking heart broken, or a situation that I thought was forever really isn't. I'm not that. Like, I like to feel my feels. I like to go through healthy emotions, whether they feel good or not. That is me. I am top tier. Let's talk about what the real issue is and get to the root of the problem, because I do not wish to walk around completely damaged. It's just not me. It's not. And I do understand that because I am on this journey to being the best version of myself and confronting all of the emotions that I feel, I do understand that it's going to be harder for me because I see red flags and I take heed to them shits. I do. I see red flags and it's either I'm not fucking with you or I'm going to ask you like real quick, like, okay, so what's this about? I want to know before I get myself in a situation because I'm not dating because it's cute. I'm dating because I want to spend my 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 80s and however else, you know, whatever else God has in store for me with somebody that can be my partner. So I feel like it's safe to say that I'm in a pretty good place and I still have relationship PTSD, but I do feel like I'm growing every day and I feel like I'm getting better and I'm really conquering all of the things that I've been through with these men. Lord. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to my little conversation. I think I want to do another part two to one of my really, 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 really popular podcasts from season one. But you guys got to stay tuned and listen out for that. Okay. So thank you everybody for tuning in to Virgo Chronicles. Bye.